Yeah, so we find ourselves overlooking Central Seoul here at the UN Human Rights Office, which is a hub of activity, but has a special guest of late. That is the UN Special Rapporteur on North Korea, Tomás Ojeda Quintana. Thank you so much for joining us on our radio program.
Thank you for the invitation, and my best regards to your audience.
Now, normally you're based in Argentina, is that right?
I live in Argentina, that's correct.
But of all the places you travel to from there, North Korea has not been one of them, which is a bit odd considering your position.
You're right. That has been a serious concern, the lack of access to the territory of North Korea. My mandate from the United Nations is to try to engage with them, to go to the ground and to collect evidence on the ground by also exchanging views with the authorities and then report to the United Nations about what I see as an independent expert.
Honestly speaking, though, if you were granted access, would you expect to find anything useful? Even your average tourist is concerned that the North Korea they're allowed to see is a sort of whitewashed image.
These kind of situations always have these challenges. When there is a human rights situation which covers all the country like North Korea, of course, as you say, it might be difficult in a visit to really have a clear idea of what's the situation. But the mandate that I represent will last 3 more years. I already spent 3 years trying to reach out to the authorities. What I'm saying is that all of this entails a process of building trust, confidence, and gradually trying to open up in a slow motion process, open up the authorities, trying to make the authorities understand about their responsibility towards the United Nations. So let me put it like this. If tomorrow the North Korean authorities invited me to North Korea, I would go. And then I will see what will be the program, what will they are willing to show to me. But going there, looking into their faces, looking into the ministers, the authorities, it is already worth for a mandate like my mandate.
One of the famous sons of your country where you're based is currently Pope Francis. He's someone else who might be going to North Korea. I don't know, that story seems to have faded somewhat, but the Vatican did take seriously the invitation.
Look, Francis Pope visited South Korea in 2014, so he already has been in the Korean Peninsula. And this information, which has not been confirmed, at least from my side, about the invitation or the possible invitation for the Pope, it has to be considered. I am trying to engage with the Vatican. I've been in the Vatican once already, talking to the Secretary of State about what is the role that they can play in regards to the peace agenda. We also discussed about the issue of freedom of religion. So, again, given the complexity and the secrecy and the isolation of a country like North Korea, all possibilities and options need to be proper and duly considered. And in this case, if the Pope starts engaging them, well, I will be there supporting them and providing my best expertise in this regard.
And that could be a great opportunity to raise human rights, because right now a lot of the world leaders seem to be focusing mainly on the nuclear issue, on denuclearization. And even sort of those who'd like to talk about human rights recognize that, well, you've got to start somewhere. What's your view on that? Should we be putting more focus on humanitarian questions than now?
I would say that it's understandable. Understandable that at the initiation of any negotiation process, parties involved are reluctant or find difficulties in discussing human rights at the beginning, but my responsibility is to remind them that human rights, it is important for any peace process. 2018 has been not the year for human rights discussions among the parties, but the negotiation for peace and denuclearization is still ongoing. And I hope, and I'm here in Seoul to reinforce my call for these parties, that 2019 should also be the year for human rights discussions in regards to North Korea.
One of the things you can do is you can talk to North Koreans who have managed to get out of the country. Is there anything from those conversations you've had recently that tells you something different?
The situation on the ground remains the same, has not improved, and remains very serious. That's a general conclusion after talking to these people who recently fled North Korea, mainly women living in the provinces, escaping dire social and economic conditions, taking the risk of crossing the border into China with the possibility of being trafficked in China or being held in detention, and in any case, a long journey through Southeast Asia towards South Korea. There is a reason because they are doing that. It is because the situation in the North continues to be very, very serious in regards to human rights. Again, especially in the rural areas, since most of these people are from the rural areas. What is happening, what's going on in Pyongyang, in the capital city? Well, maybe some of the reporters that have the possibility to go to Pyongyang and have a glance of what's going on, but my assessment has more to do with the provinces.
A further indication may come from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un himself. We haven't had the opportunity to interview him, I suppose you haven't, but we did get that New Year's Day address. Did you hear any words of encouragement from that?
I think that we should properly listen and read these public statements from the head of state of North Korea. In fact, the only communication and the only information that official information that I can get from North Korea comes from this kind of speeches, because other than that, it's just state media, but we don't know where this is coming from exactly, which minister, which government area. In this case, it's the head of state, the leadership of North Korea, making statements. And in this New Year address, I found an interesting statement that I associated with human rights issues. For example, his call for the economic development plan to improve the livelihood of the people living in the north. There was an interesting statement where Kim Jong-un said that they should lend an ear to the opinion of the people, which, if we read it properly, means that people might be able to express themselves in North Korea. So whether or not, of course, this is translated into reality, we don't know, but these are interesting points to try to seek a direct interaction with North Korea, you see? We need to listen. My task is to try to listen as far as possible to what North Korea has to say in every area, instead of just dismissing everything coming from his side.
As far as listening to North Korea is concerned, we're getting a lot of messages of a willingness to cooperate with South Korea, but we also have this opposition, it would appear, from the United States. Sanctions are this block. There is some progress, for example, efforts to sell or send Tamiflu medication to North Korea. We know there have been efforts from South Korea's side involving international players to treat tuberculosis in North Korea, but it is kind of scratching the surface. Do you think it's very important we need to separate those matters where you're directly handling certain problems from the areas that could be exploited for the regime's gain, for example?
I am not comfortable with the sanctions system or the sanctions regime, in general speaking. In the case of North Korea, the sanctions are targeting the economy as a whole. In my view, has at some point a detrimental impact on the ordinary people which the United Nations need to consider properly. It's not an easy issue, because the Security Council of the United Nations has been has continued with this policy of imposing sanctions and has not eased any of the sanctions, I think it's an issue that need to be sometimes separated when it has a negative impact. And you are talking about the provision of medication, and there are issues in regards to access to food, providing assistance in different areas. And I hope that the Security Council has a more open view in regards to these situations.
You've spoken with some optimism about what you heard in that New Year's Day speech, but still, if we look back to November, Human Rights Watch reporting that sexual violence in North Korea is an open, unaddressed, widely tolerated secret, no possibility, for example, of a Me Too movement there. We're also seeing reports towards the end of the year of a purge of senior officials. Now, great concern as we're looking for the whereabouts of this North Korean ambassador to Italy. Is one issue after another, which all screams a country where international norms just aren't present. What would be your final message to anyone who's an interested party listening right now?
It's not a question of being optimistic. I never try to do my job based on optimism. We need to be ready, those who really care about the human rights of the people living in the North. We need to be ready if the opportunity for any progress, engagement, appears. That is the challenge. The situation remains very, very serious in a country that has been isolated, close to the outside world. But I see that in the future there's going to be opportunities, and our challenge is to seize these opportunities for the sake of helping the people living in North Korea. This is how I see this year, 2019.
By the way, one final and very brief question. Are you concerned that a man holding so many of the cards, President Trump, seems to be rather distracted with matters at home right now?
The conditions in regards to the peace and nuclearization agenda and the parties involved are not the best conditions. As you say, the U.S. president has serious inconveniences at the home level. But I have said today, when I address in the media, that I should commend the efforts all of the parties involved for what they have at least accomplished during 2018, which is stop nuclear tests for more than 1 year, stop ballistic missile tests for more than one year, suspension of military drills in the Korean Peninsula. Those elements are very important. Now, what we need now in 2019, again, is to connect all this progress to the human rights agenda. And I will always raise my voice and be very vocal and put pressure on the parties involved not to sideline human rights for the people of North Korea.
UN Special Rapporteur on North Korea, Thomas Ojea Quintana, we wish you a safe onward journey. Thank you for catching up with us while you're here in Seoul.
Thank you for your interest.